Welcome to the Business Success Network podcast with me, Stacey Calder, helping you to grow yourself and grow your business with tools, tips and techniques. Stacey Calder from the Business Success Network and Magazine, and I am joined today with the one and only Nathan McQueen. Hi, Nathan.
How are we doing?
I'm all right, thank you. Whoever decided to record this podcast at 9 a.m. was neither me nor you, I'm pretty sure. So
definitely not.
But we are here nonetheless, and I'm really excited to be interviewing you today. The magazine is now out, which means we've got kind of one interview done, so I get to interview you again. So let's start how we always start these podcasts with, tell us a bit about you. We could be here all day, couldn't we? But tell us all there is to know about Nathan McQueen. What got you into debt recovery?
So debt recovery, I stumbled into debt recovery, to be fair. I was an ugly child. I wasn't distracted at school with parties and girls and things like that. Even carried a briefcase, which made it even worse. So yeah, I wasn't very popular, so I wasn't distracted away, which meant I could do my A-levels, did my maths, physics, chemistry and biology, and then found a girlfriend. So didn't want to go to uni just in case I couldn't find two that wanted to see me naked. So I started an MBQ course in business admin and ended up at Southern Electric filing disconnection notices 5 days a week for 7 hours a day. I'm being a nosy little tow rag. Started talking to the people around me, and they did disconnection and fraud, and eventually got into that team where my first ever fraud case was my oldest uncle. But that's a story for another day.
Wow. That's the first time I've heard that part of that story. I love your humour, Nathan. And you know, you say about being an ugly kid and you got a girlfriend, and I can just imagine there are lots of people out there that have kind of got similar stories and kind of listen to this and nodding their head. But you know, you said about not going to uni. It just shows that you don't have to take that route into work to be successful, do you?
No, I mean, for me, I needed to do something. And the NVQ was the option I had. So I did that just because the fact that I wanted to do, keep the brain active. Yeah, I should have probably gone to uni to start with, or thought about it, because I didn't actually know what I wanted to do. I mean, I got straight A's at A-level and never went anywhere. But like I said, the chance of me finding two women was, at the time, I thought was going to be remote, so I didn't bother doing it. And everything happens for a reason. When I worked at Southern Electric, that filing job, I was being paid £65 a week. And one day I decided that I felt a little bit sick and didn't go in, and I didn't go in for 2 weeks, not realising I had to phone in every day because it was just part of a vocational course. And when I came back, they'd missed me that much. They actually offered me a full-time job in the fraud squad. So it was everything happens for a reason.
Yeah, probably not the best advice, though, to just take 2 weeks off and not rock out,
right? No, I mean, definitely not. I mean, but it's one of those things. It was, like I said, I was a 16-year-old, 18-year-old that had no clue what I wanted to do. What I would always say is just keep learning whatever you're doing, because even though I wanted to leave, I left, didn't want to go back into university, I just kept learning to make sure that I was constantly developing myself.
Sounds like a great tip there. So you know, you talked about being an ugly child and trying to find girls and all that kind of thing. I love how we've brought this into a business conversation. It's certainly not the case now, is it? I think, you know, you've got such a charm and charisma about you. Are you telling me you learned that from debt recovery?
I think debt recovery has helped. If you're chasing debt and dealing with all different types of individuals on a daily basis, it's, you're having to technically talk them out of their money. So that's a skill you have to learn, and you can then apply that wherever you can and you need to in life. The rest of it just came down to the gym and karate. So that sorted itself out, and got a haircut, had my braces taken off, started to wear contact lenses, and the rest is history.
So you kind of touched on it then to start with. You mentioned the gym and you mentioned karate. hobbies of yours, something that, you know, you're passionate about? What's the story there?
So martial arts is a passion, and again, I'm a gamer and a geek. So I used to compete nationally and internationally, full contact karate. And I did that for 12 years. So it's it kept me mentally sane, gave me an option outside of work. I'm not necessarily a lift, eat, sleep, repeat type of lift person, gym person. So I wanted something that, again, stimulated my mind as well as kept me fit. And I just found that I was naturally good at it. So I went from there. And then obviously gaming, you know, on the second to that, which is, yeah, I am that gaming geek, that PS5 lad that spends far too much time on it.
I'm married to one of those, as you know, so I get it. So karate, then, there must be lessons that you've learned in karate and, you know, representing, you say you represented the country. There must be lessons that you've learned that have kind of carried into your business that you can learn from each day.
Yeah, there's loads. I mean, patience is one of them. And also that we were taught that when you take the first hit, it's how you react to that first hit. So your body's is flight or fight. And it's the same in business. You're going to get knocked in business, but it's how you react to that knock. So if you keep your eyes forward, as we had when we were taught to fight, you see that first knock coming, but you also then can see the second, which means you can get out of the way of the second. But if you turn your head or you're distracted by the first and you react badly to the first, then you'll get hit by the second and third and fourth. So the knocks will just keep coming. So it's how you deal with that first knock and how you get back up. That was key. First one always hurts, but the second one hurts more if you don't see it coming.
You know, there's a business book in you, Nathan, somewhere. Just listening to that, it's brilliant. or at least a speaker gig, hey?
Definitely.
So you've talked about kind of falling into debt recovery then. And I suppose the first time I met you and you mentioned debt recovery, and I bet you have this kind of effect on people, let's say, they probably think of, you know, those TV shows where people are knocking doors, they are harassing people at their doorstep. But you've made it really kind of your mission to make sure that you're not seen as that kind of person, aren't you?
Yeah, I mean, TV is great for ratings and the stab vest wearing door knockers. It's me rocking up to someone's house in a three-piece suit with a pocket handkerchief saying that you owe some money wouldn't have the same draw. But that's what it is in reality. At the end of the day, people are people, and people make mistakes, and you never know what their situation is. So sending door knockers round isn't necessary the ideal solution to the situation. As long as you're speaking to the people throughout the debtor, throughout the situation, you can avoid that situation. Because the only people that win in that are the courts, the solicitors and the bailiffs, because they're the ones that are racking up the fees. So if you can avoid that situation, the chances of recovery are better.
Fantastic. And you work with all sorts of people, don't you? Individuals, huge national companies.
Yeah, I've helped people collect their wages through to helping Deloitte's on the likes of Woolworths and HMV and Comet collecting the money that was due to the business when they went into administration. So, yeah, those invoices range from sort of £65 through to £5 million. So happy to help with any of those type of situations. And they all get treated in the same way, because those balance, no matter what the balance is, they're key to that person that's wanting that collected. So a small balance that's down to wages is imperative to that person to collect, because the fact that it's their lifeblood. And the invoice is due to a multinational business, probably can't take that hit of a bad debt. So it's each gets treated in the same way, irrespective of the size and the value.
And I think when you look at these TV programs and you hear about debt recovery and collections and all that kind of thing, you think of, you know, the individual that is being collected from. Actually, what you've done really well over the time that we've known each other is talk about the other side of it. So all those businesses out there that could potentially be struggling because they're not collecting the money that is owed to them. And when you look at it like that and you frame it like that, actually, you kind of see the other side to it.
Yeah, I mean, throughout this whole thing, all I would say is communication is key, because We're approaching probably a pinch point, maybe towards the end of the year. I think the pinch point's going to come. The loans and the schemes and that are going to come to an end. So cash will be key to every business. And it's just making sure that everybody's talking to each other. They don't want me involved. It's when communication breaks down that I get involved. I'm like the marriage counsellor. I'm like where emotions come into it, that someone sold a product, provided a service, and then someone on the other end either can't afford to pay for it or won't pay for it for whatever reason. And then they just clash heads, and then I'm engaged to actually try and resolve that situation. And for me, there is no emotion in it. Yes, there's a balance outstanding. Yes, we make sure the client's reputation is paramount to our collection. But we also want to make sure that what we're advising our client is the right situation. It's like we wouldn't recommend litigation if we believe then it's never going to be a good case to go legal. There's no point wasting additional money just because there's a balance outstanding, there's a principal involved. So we would always give clear and concise recommendations where the emotion is then out of it, because it's not my product, it's not my service.
And you mentioned there can't pay or won't pay.
Yeah, there's can't pay and there's won't pay. So with can't pay, obviously the situation now, a lot of businesses are struggling depending on what sector they're in. So with those clients, those debtors, we tend to work with them to work out why they can't pay. Is it because they need financial advice? Is it they need professional advice? Because ultimately, if we can get them the right advice or the right solution, then my client gets paid because it will resolve that pinch point. If it's won't pay, then they're what I consider my sport. I've got a particular set of skills that makes me a nightmare for those people. And I can be like a dog with a bone, especially on the ones that are just not paying because they choose that they don't have to pay or don't want to pay for with no genuine reason.
And I've heard stories about, you know, you've told us different ones from, like you say, a young lad trying to get his wages. That was a won't pay. You had fun with that one. But, you know, there must be, it's hard, isn't it, for when, like you say, when people won't, they're just doing it because they won't pay. It's knowing when to take it forward and when to kind of write it off, I suppose.
It is, but 40% of my clients are won't payers. So they were originally, they come across my desk as people I had to chase money from. And now they're my clients because they realise that they had to pay. Everything's done in a professional way. We know what we're doing. The lad with the wages, that was the gentleman, the debtor. That was just purely on the fact that because he was owed 60, he was desperate for the £65. The debtor was like, well, if you can't afford write off £65, then he's not going to be able to afford to litigate. So he thought that because he won't be able to progress it. So I offered to pay for it personally, to put the litigation back on the table, which meant he was dealing with £65 or £500. And it was quite a quick conversation to get that situation resolved.
Amazing. We could sit here and talk about you all day, I'm pretty sure, but we will talk more in part two.
Braille Business Certainty, we take the pain, stress and emotion out of debt recovery and credit control. We provide a fast, effective service, all on a no-win, no-fee basis. With over 24 million recovered in the last 12 months, and those invoices range from £65 through to 5 million. So in this instance, size doesn't matter. So if you've got outstanding invoices or you know anybody that has, please do give us a call. My number is 07435 026 440 or check out our website at www.braillebusinesscertainty.com.
So Nathan, we've talked about a bit about how you got into debt recovery and all that kind of thing, but what are your plans for the future?
So at Braille, we're going through a bit of a change at the moment. The systems are being developed and we're actually expanding our sales team to gear up ready for, because we do insolvency debt recovery as well, which is a primary source of work prior to the dreaded C word. So we're expanding our team. So the next year we'll see us gear up ready to deal with that type of situation, because unfortunately there will be a lot of insolvencies coming on the back of this. They are actually at the lowest point since 2004, but the insolvency practitioners are predicting a busy end of year and definitely into 2022 when things like furlough and things like that come to an end. they will get busy. So we've had to ramp up ready to do that and service that situation.
So you mentioned the dreaded C word there. We nearly went the whole podcast without mentioning COVID. But actually, you know, if it wasn't for COVID, we wouldn't have been on each other's radar, actually. Probably not. You know, we've been working together. We've been networking together and then now working together as well for a few months now. Did COVID change the way you do business? And, you know, you talked about things are ramping up at work, but actually, you know, for you personally, what does the future look like? How has COVID changed the way you do business?
COVID had quite an impact. My day would normally be sat on the train somewhere, London, Leeds, Manchester, Newcastle, wherever I was going to meet insolvency practitioners to discuss, obviously, network and potentially get jobs. But that became quiet because of all the different, like I said, all the different funding schemes. So it enabled me to put my foot on the ball because I always wanted to help more direct to businesses. Because when I'm collecting debt within ledgers for insolvency practitioners, I'm seeing people struggle within that. And they're the big ticket stuff. They're the higher fee type of stuff for us, which enabled me, like I said, to put foot on the ball and then try and find a way to market to help people with their credit control and their out of terms invoices and then give back, which is what we did. So to do that, I needed to find a network. I had no clue about how. So I can go to an R3 event or a TMA event and meet loads of insolvency practitioners. But what I can't do is try and find a group of people that are all business owners that may need help either now or in the future. So it just enabled me to do that. Obviously, I found 4N and became a part of that. And like I said, don't do anything by half measure. I think it was 85 meetings in 5 weeks, wasn't it? So it's, didn't mess about.
Didn't mess about at all. But the thing is now, you know, if someone's only got a right in that group of 30,000 business owners, you know, does anybody know anybody that can help me recover any debts? And your name is listed, you know, more than 10, 20 times on some occasions. So you have made yourself the go-to person within that network. And I think, you know, in other networks as well. So it's not a one size fits all, but it's great that COVID has some success stories that, you know, sometimes people are worried about sharing them because it is quite a tough time for everybody at the minute, but you seem to have really found a balance with it.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, debt is personal to everybody. So whether you owe it or whether you're owed it, people don't like to admit that they owe money or they're owed money because they see that as a failure. But it's not. It's just making sure that you take it on the chin and try and talk to people because it's not going to go away. And you're going to get someone like me, not knocking on your door, but you're going to get somebody like me chasing you. And not everyone's as resourceful and as polite as I am. So and you might end up with those door knockers that you don't want banging on your door, taking your couch away.
So, you know, you've filled this podcast with some tips there, but I always bring it back to some top tips at the end of the session. So, what would your top tips be then for people in business in general? Could be debt recovery or it could be outside of that.
I think the key one is communication. Like I said, we only get involved when communication breaks down. And that can be because of the fact that people are ignoring their debt or they're ignoring their owed debt. And we're seeing a lot more people wanting to pay on payment plan, which is a good thing. But you've got to have that initial conversation with somebody. Because you have to break down. So the second one is take out the emotion. So they sort of tie into each other, really. So if you're providing a service or a product and you're owed money, why are people not paying me? I've sold them the product, I've provided a service, and then it escalates quite quickly through the emotion. And then that's where the communication breaks down. But you don't understand what's happening on the other side. They might have had somebody that's not paying them, which has caused them a knock-on effect. And that's how these things happen. So it's always key to make sure that you've got your systems and your processes in place to deal with that situation. Don't leave a debt until it's 2 months old before you start chasing it. Have the conversation. Make it almost like a sales call. We do a lot of proactive calls for a lot of clients we do credit control for, where a client gives us an invoice that they've sold for a product today, and we'll diarize that so that we touch base with that customer or that debtor within 14 days. Have you had the invoice? Is there any queries? Is there any other product you want? It all can almost be a sales call. It's an uptick. It's an opportunity to put more product or more services in, but it's also an opportunity to pick up on the standard excuses. Well, I never received the invoice, so I can't pay, or I've got a price query on that. So it preempts it, so you don't get to your 30 days when it's due, or 60 days or whenever it is, before you find out what the problem is, and then you start to resolve it. Then suddenly you're into 30 days overdue, then you're into 60 days overdue, or you've litigated against something and they come back with a genuine dispute which has cost you cash. And then, so communication is key there. And if you've got your systems and processes in place, so I built our debt recovery system because, as you know, I'm a geek. And it manages the workflow of my collectors. So they can manage as many cases and as many clients all at the same time. It tells them what cases they need to do on the daily basis, what letters they need to send, what phone calls they need to send. And we are a phone-based collection company, so we only tend to send the initial letter. The next letter tends to be the final one to say this is actually where it's going now, and it's being passed to an external party, maybe a solicitor. So it prompts them to make sure they're making the phone calls, making the regular contact. If there's a payment promised, someone's paying on the 18th of February. If it hasn't come in on the 18th of February in the morning, it's in their workbox in the afternoon, so they're following up that payment promise. So it makes the processes a lot simpler, and we can manage a lot more cases then. And that's what people need to do in business. Get your processes right. I've seen businesses where they will send a statement on day one, 7-day letter, 14-day letter, a 28-day letter that says they're going legal, and then to the same customer they send the statement on day one, the 7-day letter, the 14-day letter, and it goes around in cycles. And it educates the person that owes the money that you're never going to actually proceed, and that's what you need to do. You need to get that communication going, let them know that you're not actually just posturing. This is what the process, this is where it is going, it is escalating, but let's sort it out before it hits that situation. So it enables us to do it that way.
I can just, looking at your face when you start talking about systems, then you can see the real geek in you, as you say, because you suddenly started talking really, you know, so much faster, your eyes lit up. Who knew you were such a geek, eh?
Yeah, well, to be fair, I actually did wireframe the system together and got a developer to put it together, but yeah. So it's a bit of my bait. I mean, it'll even, so the minute we upload a debt, if we've got an email address, they've had the letter on email, so we're on the phones in 2 hours. And we've collected debts within 2 to 4 hours of being instructed, and some of those have been sizable debt. So it is key, and yeah, I am a bit of a geek.
So we've got a gamer, a geek, and all sorts going on there as well. Not that I would say that to your face, because, you know, with being a black belt, then you'd probably kick my backside as well. So there we go. There were some brilliant tips there, and I think, you know, they can be taken on in any business. Like you said, communication is massively, massively important in any business. Systems, absolutely. I'm just going to thank you for being here today and recording this podcast with me at 9 o'clock. We got through it.
We did get through it. Thanks a lot.
Great. Second time lucky, but it's brilliant to have you on the podcast. It's been an amazing edition of the magazine. It is definitely one that has flown out, actually, if nothing else. But yeah, it's been so much fun working with you.
That's been great. It's been great. Thank you.
So if you want to get your hands on the Nathan McQueen issue of the Business Success Magazine, you can head over to the website www.businesssuccessmagazine.co.uk, and you can subscribe for under £20 for the whole year, and we will make sure that we pop Nathan in the post to you.